It's time for Wolo and Friends on Sports 56. Here is your host, the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
Little guy can lead a team to the NBA title, but at least the door is open. Jalen Brunson leads the Knicks to game one victory, and now they have stolen home court. We'll talk with Pete Prenica in just a little bit. Ed Scott made a statement yesterday on radio. The Tigers will have full revenue share, and 28 to 30, that is when things will get shaken up again. So the athletic director for the Tigers, Dr. Ed Scott, was right to the point yesterday. $21.3 million, that's what the Tigers will spend on their student athletes. So that's full funding. As far as we know, there's only two G6 schools that are going all out, and they are Memphis and South Florida. South Florida's football budget apparently might be a little bit more than the University of Memphis. The Tigers are going to spend $9 million on their roster for basketball this year. It will be up to $10 million for football. That's 19, so there's two and a third million that are going to other sports. I found that to be pretty impressive that in this period of time since Scott took over and all the rules changed, he has been able to fundraise. He does, however, say this financial model is sustainable for only a very short period of time. So he reiterated exactly what Charles Huff said a couple of weeks ago to the Downtown Rotary. Then he reiterated what Dr. Bill Hargrave, the president of the university, said to Eli Monday. That is, they really believe around 30, and usually these things happen a couple of years early, so 28 the target date, there will be realignment. The dominoes will fall one more time. They want to be ready for that. So they're basically saying, we're all in. We are all in for the Big 12. We are all in for the ACC, whichever conference would like us. If there was the option for both, they would take a real long look at which one is the best fit. Maybe the one that makes the most money. We'll see. But they really believe it's going to happen in that 28 to 30 window, and they want to be ready. So if it doesn't happen for them, 28 to 30, then they will not be all in on athletics. That's at least sort of the sense I got from Dr. Scott listening to him yesterday. Another interesting thing, you know, Penny came out and had talked about how they all took personality tests. When recruits came in, he gave them a personality test to see if they would fit with the kind of culture that he wants to develop. So is this guy the right fit for the way I coach, for the attitude that I want? Because clearly, two of the last 3 years, those teams went south on him. I thought that was brilliant. Well, now Ed Scott says he took that test too. And part of the reason he wanted to take that test was to see how he could work better with his coaches, and in particular, in this case, with Penny Hardaway. And I thought it was easy. He said, his personality, he likes to make quick decisions, move fast, be decisive, then really, I guess, work that plan. Plan your work, work your plan. Whereas Penny is much slower, more deliberate, wants to really think things out, draw it out a lot longer. And so that is why he said part of what he has to give to Penny is as much data as possible to help him make his decisions quicker. And again, they brought up the Haggerty-Dane Danger, too long a wait last year before they constructed their roster, which turned out to be the disaster. It was the worst team in 53 years. So we all understand that now. And I thought that was pretty interesting insight. They all took personality tests. And again, it's reiterated, they think realignment's going to happen 28 to 30, and they want to be ready, and they're going full rev share. And I give him a lot of credit because he really started with zero for players. Zero. And he's gotten it up to 21.3 mil. And that means, by the way, there are a lot of people out there who I know initially were against NIL, that were initially against pay for play. And they've come around to the tune of $21.3 million. That is pretty darned amazing. So last night, and we're going to talk with Pete Pranica about this, Tim Doolin on college baseball. You know, Tim said seven teams would make up the eight-team field in Omaha. That cannot happen. Seven teams from the SEC did make the Super Regionals. So he said seven would be in Omaha from the SEC. Five could, and that's because out of the Super Regionals, in Athens, Georgia plays Mississippi State, and in Auburn, the Tigers play Ole Miss. So two are definitely going to be there, but you could have as many as five. What is that, 62.5% of the field would still be all SEC in Omaha? If that is the case, there have been so many upsets. We will talk about the Cinderellas, Arkansas not getting there. How about UCLA going down to St. Mary's, and St. Mary's doesn't even make it in? You've got a super regional that is Troy and Little Rock. How about that? There's going to be one of those two teams that have no money whatsoever invested. They will make it to Omaha. I don't know what their chances will be like. We'll talk about that with Tim Doolin. Also, he passed along the top five biggest budgets in college baseball. Found this interesting because it hasn't necessarily worked out this year. The most money spent on a baseball team this year, Tennessee, $13 million. Second most, really a tie, LSU and Ole Miss at $10 million. Then four and five would be Arkansas and Texas, both at $9 million. Both of those budgets about equal to what Memphis has for football that they spend for baseball. And Tennessee far and above against any sport that Memphis has. $13 million, that's almost two-thirds of the full rev share. Pretty amazing. It didn't really work out. You've got out of those, Tennessee not there. LSU didn't make any regionals. Ole Miss is in the super regional. Arkansas is not in the super regional. Texas is hosting a super regional. So it worked out for two of the five most expensive teams. And then we'll end our day with Jarvis Greer, and Jarvo will talk about what Ed Scott had to say. Also, USL2 in place, already has played two games at home, one on the road. So I think they are now 0-2-1. Plenty to play. Remember, they're brand new. And then the Arena League begins at the Memphis Sports and Events Center near Tiger Lane. That'll be Saturday night, their first home game. I think they got clobbered in their first game, but we'll talk about the two new teams to arrive. And Fred Smith signing the roster construction and the personality test that I've already mentioned as I sit here in the Family Leisure Studios. And we got the ultimate pool party going on. You know what that means. Above ground pools, which they've always specialized in. You can get those cool things now for under $4,000. How affordable is that? Now, you really want to go high tech? They now do in-ground pools. Those are state-of-the-art. They're a little more expensive, but they're still a good price. It's an investment. But they're under $50,000, and all in-stock patio furniture price to move. You can get a five-piece set for under $1,000. Those new wonderful outdoor sectionals, they started under $1,300. You get a free umbrella and base with a select patio purchase. And if you mention us, you can get $200 off any pool or spa purchase. All you got to do is go see Billy or go see Lindsay. They are at Family Leisure, I-40. And Wooden Road. As always, on Tuesdays, we talk with the television voice of the Memphis Grizzlies. That would be Pete Pranica. Many people, Pete Pranica said, You can't have a little guy, a 6'2 guard, if he's really 6'2, Jalen Brunson, and him be your main guy and win an NBA championship. Now, it's not over with one game, but you know what? They stole home court advantage, and Madison Square Garden is going to be crazy next week. And they're up 1-0. What's your sense of what happened last night? Good morning.
Good morning. Did I say that you can't win with a little guy? I thought it was Becky Hammon.
No. Anyway. It was. I'll tell you who it was. It was Becky Hammon and your good friend Draymond Green.
Well, look, Draymond Green and I have never been on the same page about much of anything. So, what happened is you have a New York team that has the best clutch player, arguably, in the NBA, along with SGA, who made plays in the fourth quarter. And you're talking about a San Antonio team coming off a highly emotional 7-game win over the defending champion. And, you know, as I looked at it, honestly, Wolo, I thought that San Antonio, they got the 13-point lead in the third quarter, and I thought they got careless, that they thought, okay, we're gonna coast this thing over the line, because I think New York started something like 1-for-11 in the second half. That's an outlier. And you give Jalen Brunson an opportunity in the fourth quarter, he'll get on a heater. And this Knicks team is playing with a tremendous amount of confidence, obviously, and they're more well-rested than San Antonio is at this time. So I think those were all contributing factors. Now, will San Antonio get back in the series? Yes, I don't see this being a sweep. I don't even see it being a gentleman's sweep. But you're right. The Spurs now are faced with the daunting task of having to win a game at Madison Square Garden, which is going to be just bonkers.
I've done several games in Madison Square Garden at different angles and spots, and I've always enjoyed it no matter where I've been. But I've never done a Knicks game or an NBA game in that venue, and I wonder what that will be like. I think it's Monday, right? That's when they play Game 3. It's must win for San Antonio Friday night. There's no doubt about that. They can't fall behind 0-2. But what's that going to be like in that place? You know, they hadn't been there since 99 in the finals. They hadn't won since 73 a title. What's that place going to be like?
It's going to be electric. I mean, even on a mid-season Tuesday night game, it's amazing. It is, as with you, it's one of my favorite places to do a game because it is Madison Square Garden. The celebs are going to be out. It will be interesting to see how the Knicks respond to all the hoopla. Okay, are they going to get caught up in it with all the celebrities? I'm seeing reports that President Trump is going to be there. Are they going to get caught up in all the hoopla of a finals game at Madison Square Garden, or are they going to be locked in enough to put that all off to the side and handle their business? To me, that's going to be as big a question as anything else.
I don't think the series is over by any means. I really don't. I mean, for instance, there's no doubt. You said clutch player. Well, 13 of his 30 were in the fourth quarter. So they were tied with, 4 or 5 minutes left to go in the game. And he makes this play where he tips the ball out. I think it's to Mikal Bridges. Gets the ball back in the corner, hits a three, and I think that was the beginning of a 9-0 run that pulled the Knicks away. He does those little things, but you know what? He scored 30 on 31 shots. He was not the most efficient guy in the world. He did get injured a little bit, and Wemby had a tough night. 6 turnovers, 15 missed shots. He kept, I think, venturing outside because they were beating the heck out of him and not staying inside enough. Kenny Smith pointed this out. I don't know why they didn't play Dylan Harper the last 4 or 5 minutes, who'd been a guy that had been very productive. De'Aaron Fox was not. He's not the same guy. He's got a high ankle sprain. So I think these corrections are going to be made. I really do. But, the Knicks now are in the driver's seat.
They are in the driver's seat. What have they won now? 13 straight playoff games, which is absolutely insane. But I was thinking about this. If you take into account an 82-game season and you need 16 to lift the trophy, that's 98 games.
Wow. Okay? Yeah.
Now, the Knicks have swept the last couple series. Spurs have not. Spurs have played significantly more games with a team that is not experienced going that deep into the playoffs. This is uncharted waters for them. Now, I know, you know, the Knicks, you know, didn't make the finals last year, but they had that very tough series with Detroit. They're a little bit more battle-tested. I think Mitch Johnson for San Antonio is a fantastic coach. Mike Brown has been there. Okay, he knows what it takes. And so there's just the experience is on the side of the Knicks, but they don't have Wembanyama. If Wembanyama plays up to his full capability, you know, we'll definitely have a series.
I can't imagine that he wouldn't, honestly. I think he's going to play a lot better. That's why I don't think this series is over. But here's the thing that I do wonder about, because they're so young and they've never been here and they've played so many games. I've always heard this, that, you know, there's that rookie wall. They play 40 games or so, which is the most you play in college basketball. And then, oh, wait a second, we're only halfway through the year, and there's this fatigue thing that hits rookies. Now they say the same thing. If you've gotten to the semis or, you know, the conference finals, that's a whole different thing. And now here's another series after you've gone through this. Is there this fatigue thing mentally that just gets to people who've never gotten this far?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. When I started in the NBA, I was around Chuck Daly, and Chuck would always say, and this was true. It was true for Detroit. It was true for your Bulls. The first time you go to the conference finals, you're like, holy cow, we still got to keep playing?
Yeah.
You're just begging for it to be over because you don't realize how many more extra games you have to play to win a championship. And like I said, you got to win 16 to win the trophy, and you know you're going to lose a couple in every series, so, you know, add another like 8 games to that. You're playing almost another quarter of a season, all right, after the regular season to win the title. That's a lot of games. And yeah, does it wear on you? Absolutely it does. And this is a young team. They're trying to do some great things for San Antonio, which is a proud franchise. And, you know, the pressure, the mental strain, the physical strain, all of that, I think, adds up after a while.
You mentioned Chuck Daly. With your long tenure in the NBA, and I know you spent some time in Portland, did you ever rub shoulders, have any stories with Rick Adelman, who unfortunately passed away this past week at the age of 79?
I did not, because Rick was already gone by the time that I was there. Obviously faced Rick as an opposing coach with Sacramento and Minnesota. Just a super, super class guy, and his son David following in his footsteps.
Right.
Our producer, Scott Zachary, worked with Rick in Portland before I was there, and just could not say enough good things about Rick Adelman.
I got to ask you this. I don't know if you have the answers, but, you know, I have Xfinity, right? So I'm searching my sports tier, right? So I go 828. I got ESPNU, actually 827. I got the Golf Channel. I go to 829. For some reason, there's Paramount there. There's entertainment. Then 830, 831. That's the old FanDuel. And, you know, used to be Fox Sports Southeast. Those were the channels that were allocated to that. They don't exist anymore. We knew that was coming. Have we got any updates as to where you and Brevin and Rob are going to be next year? Have we got a plan?
The Grizzlies are planning that we'll have the game somewhere. Right now, Detroit, the Pistons have gone to the local Scripps own station in Detroit for an over-the-air deal. Right now, the league, as I understand it, is talking to DAZN. They're talking to YouTube. They're talking to Amazon. Would one of those streamers be willing to pick up as many of the, it was 13, Detroit has gone off on their own now, would they be willing to bundle the, I think, 12 remaining teams and put them on a streaming service, whether it's a YouTube situation or DAZN or whatever? You know, the league ultimately is going to, I think, take everything over and then bundle everybody's rights and distribute that to somebody. But right now the league is so tied up with the thoughts of the NBA Finals that we just haven't had an update. So where we're going to be, don't know. We know the games will be on TV, and I'm confident that the Grizzlies will make the best deal financially for the organization and for the fans as well.
Well, one option, I'm just guessing. I don't have insight on this. I know that Channel 5 is pretty active. Jonathan Mitchell loves sports, their general manager. But they have this new Memphis Sports Entertainment Network, which is 907 on the cable system. I think it's 5.3 on, regular over-the-air digital TV. That would make a lot of sense to have the Grizz. That would basically be some over-the-air and your cable system, which is what you're used to. And I don't think there would be a charge like there could be for streamers to get your broadcast. I don't know if that's even in the discussion, but that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, the NBA has taken the unusual step that they have actually hired somebody in the broadcasting department that is going to work with teams individually with their local broadcast going forward. So they actually have a dedicated person who's going to be working on this. That's been widely reported. There's no great secret there. The question is, like I said, the NBA is going to want to centralize this. Can they do it this season, or are we going to have to wait till 27-28? And if that's going to be the case, who's going to want to sign teams to a one-year deal?
Right.
Until the NBA is ready. So a lot of moving parts at this point. Don't really know. Like I said, the games are going to be on. Exactly how that's going to fall out, I really don't know, because we're going to careen from the finals to the draft to summer league, and
right.
It should be a very interesting summer.
Stay tuned, as we like to say. All right, last thing, real quick. Pick three. I don't think they're going to trade that pick. I think that pick's going to happen. If there is Caleb Wilson or Cam Boozer, who's the Pete Pranica pick?
Oh, man, that's a flip of the coin. I probably have a slight edge for Boozer simply because he comes from an NBA family. He knows what it's all about. Now, he may be closer to his ceiling than Wilson is.
Yeah.
Wilson brings incredible athleticism. Boozer might be a more finished and polished player, and we'll see if Zach Kleiman's
Dookie thing, yeah.
if that has any impact on it. I think either way, you're going to get a really, really good player at three. I don't think the Grizzlies would trade that. The currency of a top three pick in this year's draft is way too valuable to go anywhere else with it.
I think you can't lose either way. And Peterson could slip to three too, by the way, because Boozer seemed to move up in some people's mock drafts. I don't think you can lose. I think that Wilson does have the higher ceiling, but as you just said, there's the floor on Boozer, and it's not bad. This is going to be a 10 to 12, 15 point year guy, so the Grizz are in good shape any way you look at it. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. Just to let you know, I'm going to be off the next couple of weeks, but Landon Schmidt will be sitting in my seat, and I know he's going to love talking to you.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Enjoy the time away.
I'm going to, I promise. Thank you, Pete. That is our good friend Pete Pranica, voice of the Grizzlies on TV. He's brought to you by Shell Dunn, who's the best real estate point guard in town. Well, point guards know the plan, right? They get the strategy from the coach. Then they execute the plan. This is what Shell Dunn does so well. He's got a strategic marketing program. He's had it for 40 years. He works 365, 24/7 to make sure that plan works for you. He steers you in the right direction. Can't play golf worth a lick. They call him Mr. Three-Putter, Mr. Shank, because he can never practice. Why? He's working for you. He's been doing all this stuff a long time. He knows some stuff about marketing and positioning your property to get the most money for it. So if you want to get to the closing table as quickly as you can and make the most money, he says talk to three real estate brokers, just make sure he's one of them. You call him at 483-0546, or you can Reach out at MemphisRelocate.com. You'll learn the strategy. You'll sell that house quickly if you call Shell Dunn. Again, MemphisRelocate.com or 483-0546. We talk baseball in a minute. My man Tim Doolin, he said 7 SEC teams would make Omaha. Well, 7 made Super Regionals. 5 can go to Omaha. We're going to talk about all of that in just a minute.
Not only can you listen to your favorite shows on Sports 56, you can also watch video of the shows live on Twitter and YouTube. Watch and listen every day at Sports 56 WHBQ. Back to Wolo and Friends on Sports 56. Here once again is the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
Tim Doolin, you said 7 of the participants in Omaha would come from the SEC. The most they can get is 5. They do have 7 in the Super Regionals. Will they get 5 in? Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I don't know if they're going to get 5 in. I'd like to think so, but I think all the five teams that can advance, obviously there's 2 Super Regional matchups with Ole Miss playing Auburn and Georgia playing Mississippi State.
Right.
Only 2 of those can advance, but all 4 of those teams are playing lights out right now. You know, Ole Miss continues to prove that it's not how you start but how you finish. They've gotten hot as of late and playing really good baseball. Auburn, on the other hand, has played good, but they're so talented that you got to think that that series is going to be great.
And then well, you got at Auburn, how much do you place home field advantage in these Super Regionals?
You know, when the SEC teams are playing in these Super Regionals, I don't think you can a lot because they're used to playing in this crazy environment week in and week out in the SEC. Now, I would think it's going to be an advantage for the teams that are hosting, teams that are coming in to play the host, the Cal Poly Pomonas, the West Virginias that don't play in Troy, right, that don't play in front of large crowds. Now in the Troy situation, they're playing Little Rock, so it's not going to be a hostile for either one.
And one of those guys are going to end up in Omaha. You never would have figured that. That's a great Cinderella story.
Well, we talk about it all the time on the air, off the air about, you know, every year there are mid-majors that we never hear of that are advancing to Omaha. We're going to have the same thing this year with this matchup. So it can be done. It's just a matter of, you know, do you get the right guys in the portal? Do you develop your players? Do you get them to buy into the team concept? And in baseball, you might, on paper, they don't play these games on paper. They play them on the field. And so you got these 2 teams that have really, really played well down the stretch, and it's exciting to see.
Since you bring that up, what do you think the budgets with NIL and everything for Troy and for Little Rock are? And I bring this up because I want to go over this list you sent me. Okay? The most expensive budget, Tennessee's player payroll, number 1 in college baseball, $13 million. Of course, they didn't make a Super Regional. LSU didn't make any regional. They were tied for 2nd with Ole Miss in a Super Regional, not hosting.
Yep.
They had budgets of $10 million. Arkansas and Texas, Arkansas didn't make the Super Regional. Texas is hosting. They're at $9 million. Those are the top 5. Do you think Troy or Little Rock have $1 million budget?
No. More like $500,000. I mean, I'm dealing with the portal as we speak. It's crazy. I've got a few players in the portal, and these guys, even these teams that we're talking about right now that are in the portal, they have some of their staff doing nothing but sitting glued to the computer every day to see who's jumping in the portal, what their needs are. They're analyzing. They're putting their video on into their model to see if these guys potentially would be a fit for their school. You got exit meetings. You got the schools that are getting behind are the schools that are in the Super Regionals because they have not yet had their exit meetings. They don't know who of their current players that might help them get to Omaha are leaving or staying. Or are you going to tell some of these guys on your roster, we're moving in a different direction. You can't tell them right now. So it's just they've got to do something with the date of the portal, and I think they need to reevaluate the dates of the draft, because both of those two things are dramatically affecting. And Dave Van Horn talked about it the other day. Even though they underachieved and not advancing in their regional the last couple of years, you know, they've been playing, so they lose on players that have jumped in the portal early. So it's crazy. It's a crazy time, exciting time, but crazy.
I'm always curious about this. So the number one NIL team is Tennessee. I don't see how they ever get their money back at $13 million, but they want to win, and they got a lot of money. Okay,
that's
I get
right,
that. I
right.
get that. But who, by the way, is like the top guy? Is it the Friday pitcher? Is it a home run hitter?
Yeah.
Who is
question.
It? And what do you think the top guy with $13 million in the budget, what is he making?
He's making close to $1 million.
Hmm.
I mean, 2 years ago there were players making $750. I had one player that left Stanford to go to Texas A&M, and he got upwards of $750,000. Your Friday night starter, your number three, four, or five hitter that's going to be a big-time run producer, probably getting $500,000. And then there's lots of guys in the SEC making six figures. So it's just where we are. And I think that, to your point, $13 million, you can't recoup that even if you win Omaha.
You're not
recouping it. It's just cost of doing business. And if you want to stay competitive in the best league in the country, you gotta raise the bar, and you gotta be equal to the other ones.
I think TV ratings have to be good. You know, here's UCLA losing to St. Mary's, and St. Mary's doesn't even get to the
crazy
super regional because Troy took that position. Arkansas loses at Kansas. Well, Kansas had home field advantage. I guess that's not so big. USC upsets A&M. That was in College Station, right? So that was a bit of a surprise. What's your favorite Cinderella or upset storyline?
Well, I think you know, the two teams we just talked about, Troy is and Arkansas Little Rock. Both, I know those coaches well. They've grinded. They've paid their dues and gotten in a situation where they've convinced their administration they've got a formula, and it worked. So those two teams for sure. I really like the USC story. I played against Andy Stankiewicz, good friends with Travis Jewett, the longtime assistant at Vandy, and then he went to Tulane to be the head coach, and he's their hitting coordinator. You know, here's a USC, and you think, oh, my God, they've got plenty of money. No, they don't. They've got 13 scholarships, and it's like $85,000 a year to go there. So they are way, way under the bar of having NIL money and having 34 scholarships. So when you advance to this level, you're doing it with really good coaches and players that buy into whatever your program is.
All right, let's go with each regional, because you sort of are super regional, because you did that last week, and you did get kind of busted on A&M and on who was the other one that lost that was from the Arkansas. So those
right,
two the,
right.
those two you had in. All right. So let's start with Troy Little Rock, and that is in Troy, which is just a tiny place. Believe me, I know we played football there this year.
Right. I think Troy wins that. I think they've got a little bit more talent top to bottom, and I think their bullpen's a little bit deeper than Little Rock.
All right. West Virginia, here's another crazy one. Cal Poly. West Virginia, by the way, I watched a bunch of those games in that little ballpark. I mean, it was so electric there. And afterwards, you know, they play Take Me Down Country Roads.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really a cool kind of deal. They've really built a baseball culture there. I can't see how they would lose to Cal Poly. You never know. But I'm telling you, that place is sort of special when you watch it on TV.
Yeah, no, it really is. I think you've got to give the edge to West Virginia because of home field advantage. And, you know, that doubles as a minor league stadium as well.
I didn't know that.
It's in the New York Penn League. Anyway, it's a great setting. I've been there. But I probably would lean toward West Virginia, and I think it's going to go three games. Cal Poly's good. I mean, we don't really know much about them, but anytime you can upset the number one team in the country on their home field, you're playing good baseball. So I would go with West Virginia in three.
North Carolina is at home against the team you're talking about. A little upset here,
yep.
Southern Cal.
I think UNC is the better club, and with home field advantage, I think that's going to go three games as well. But I wouldn't be shocked to see USC win it. But right. I'm going to pick North Carolina.
Kansas at home again, and I think you're surprised they're still in it against the SEC team, Oklahoma.
I'm going to go out on them. I've got several players at OU. I've been friends with Skip a long time. Their whole staff is great, and they're definitely overachieving at this point. They come back and win two big games to win that regional, and they weren't supposed to. So I really think that OU is going to outduel Kansas. Kansas is good, but I think OU is going to win that one.
All right. You got Texas at home against Oregon. They got to travel, and you know Texas has been good all year.
Two really, really good teams. Texas is super, super deep, both on their bench and in the bullpen. Oregon's going to be really talented. I think it's going to go three games, but again, I think Texas will win that, and that's a big home field advantage.
Alabama's at home. They've got another upstart, St. John's.
I think Alabama is playing really good right now. I kind of scratched my head watching them the whole season. They'd have good weekends and not so good weekends, but St. John's is good, but I think Alabama wins that regional.
All right, and then you got the two where you know there's going to be an SEC winner. Let's start with Georgia, Mississippi State. Georgia, I believe, has won every game they played against Mississippi State this year, and these are in Athens.
Well, we're going to have a for sure SEC team come out of this and a for sure Bulldogs come out of it. We know
exactly.
That, right?
Right.
It's hard to bet against Georgia because they have beaten Mississippi State four games. But Mississippi State is uber talented. I mean, they've got really good starting pitching. They've got some guys coming off the disabled list that are going to be able to contribute. I think it goes three games, and I think Georgia wins it. But, I wouldn't be shocked to see State win it. You know, you're playing in a really cool setting in Athens. It's a small ballpark. You're going to see balls flying out of that place probably. And I think it's going to be one of the more exciting regionals, super regionals that we watch this weekend.
And then the final one in Auburn, Alabama, Ole Miss and the Tigers.
Believe it or not, I think it's going to go three games, and I'm going to pick the Rebels. I just think Ole Miss is playing really good. Mike has a unique ability to convince the players that are average. He convinces them that they're really good. And he's done it before, and I think that they're primed to do it again. Auburn's good. I wouldn't be shocked, but I think it's going to go three games. I think the Rebels advance.
So you've got two road teams winning, Oklahoma and Ole Miss. All the other six are home teams, and you've got
right.
Five SEC teams out of the eight going to Omaha.
That'd be pretty impressive, wouldn't it?
It would be. That's 62.5% of the field. If I do my math correctly, which would be pretty darn impressive. And I think, because we love to compare the SEC and the Big Ten, there's Oregon, USC, they've got two. Is that it? Two Big Ten teams in? And they're
really,
and they were
yeah.
Pac-12 teams.
Right, right.
Crazy. All right, my friend, as always, we appreciate it. I'm not going to be around the next couple of weeks, but Landon Schmidt's going to be standing in, so I'm sure you'll talk some baseball with him.
Sounds good. Have a great vacation.
Thank you, my friend. We appreciate it. That is Tim Doolin on baseball. He's brought to you by Ken. Now, there's two guys that really know their fields well. Obviously, Tim, but Ken. Well, Ken and now his son, William, is in the business. We're talking third generation years of expertise at building and remodeling the greatest palaces around. Go to KenGarland.com. Take a look at some of the things they've built. Like if you've got your lot, but you don't have modern amenities, I say renovate. With innovation. Renovation with innovation. That's exactly what Ken Garland has been doing for years. You want the media room with the speakers in the wall. You want the California closets. You want the island in the kitchen with a stovetop. They do all those things. They take your old home, they make it a modern palace, and you don't have to move because you love your location. Or if you're ready to build that dream home, they've got land, but if you're not sure how to utilize land, maybe you've had in your family for years, they're the perfect ones to do it. And the job is never done. If you listen to Kenny, he's got his own spot that we've recorded here. He tells you, if you've got a problem 6 months, a year down the road, doesn't matter. They help build it. They're with you the whole way. If you're ready to renovate or you're ready to build that dream home, in my mind, there's only one place to go. That's Ken Garland, Custom Home Builders. We're going downtown. The Hall of Famer, Jarvis Greer, is standing by. We'll talk Tigers and a whole lot more. He comes your way in just a minute.
Add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Back to Wolo and Friends on Sports 56. Here once again is the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
All we hear is Radio Gaga, Radio Gaga, Radio Gaga.
Welcome back in. I forgot to mention earlier the AutoZone Liberty Bowl. Got exactly what they wanted. They wanted to be on ABC because it used to be there were 130 million subscribers to ESPN on the various different cable outlets. That's down to about 62 million. Guess what ABC's over-the-air numbers are? 130 million. They're on primetime January the 2nd, day after New Year's, on ABC. The AutoZone Liberty Bowl could not ask for a better date. They got just what they wanted. And I wonder if the SEC doesn't look and go, wait a second, we can get so many good ratings because they're on ABC, not on ESPN. This is a better exposure for us. Maybe, just maybe, the SEC will send a team to Memphis. We shall wait and see. Oh, and I should mention, by the way, and this is so good for the city, this is so good for the AutoZone Liberty Bowl, AutoZone has re-upped for 6 years. 6 years, that's quite the commitment. So this bowl is definitely safe for the next 6 years. We go downtown, the Hall of Famer, Jarvis Greer, standing by. What'd you think of that date that the AZLB got?
Oh, that's perfect because they're right there in the middle of the house. At the end of the holiday season, people are still going to be out. January 2nd, so everybody will get a chance to travel to Memphis and have a good time on Beale Street, and we'll be hopping in the updated sim, so that's great.
Yeah, the updated sim, and I can't wait to see that. That will debut second week of the college football season when the Tigers will take on Arkansas State. But yesterday was the big news with Ed Scott saying that the University of Memphis, one of two group of six schools, went full rev share. USF's the other, and the Tigers at 21.3 mil are the other school trying to compete and position themselves for Power Four possibilities in, say, 28 to 30. That's the window that I think the University of Memphis really feels something's going to happen.
Well, they're definitely maneuvering things around, and they're getting the finances together and the war chest, I guess you could call it, to make that move. And they've been doing that with, you know, taking over ownership of Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium and doing a lot of the other things. Have you been over? You've been over the South Campus. You've seen the construction and everything going on over there.
Mm-hmm.
As far as that's concerned, and you know, they're putting their money where their mouth is. I mean, this isn't just. This is just, oh, we want to do it. We want to do it so bad. But no, they're putting their money where their mouth is. The last component of this deal is getting people to buy tickets and go to the game. The butts in the seats. They got to look good on television for these people to, consider, hey, Memphis is, hey, now they're going to the games. You know, they weren't going really before, even though they had a really good year in football last year, had a terrible year in basketball. But, you know, having people in the stands looks good on television. It looks good for these leagues that might be interested in taking on Memphis as a partner.
Now, I did find it interesting that Ed made the point that this model, if you remain in the American, is not sustainable. This model of $21.3 million rev share is only good for 2 or 3 years. And then after that, if they weren't to get into a Power Four, who knows? But I think they feel pretty confident they can do it. But they got to win. I mean, even he said, look, it was not a good year last year. Football fizzled at the end. Basketball had their worst team in 50 years.
Football did well at the gate, though. That was a good thing.
It was.
Basketball
did
horrible, but it was a bad team. But football did really well at the gate. And so I think, you know, one kind of offset the loss of the other. But, you know, you got to do it all the way around. And everything's got to be that much better. And that just tells you how serious this is now, because it's dire now. It's going to be probably a split from the teams in the, quote, Power Four, or what, these kind of the autonomy leagues. It's going to be a split probably between those leagues and the group of six, and either you're going to be in it or you're going to be out. And they're not going to, there's no handouts, and there's no, I'm going to give you a chance to come up. No, you got to get up on your own. And that's why it takes everybody's elbow grease to make this thing happen.
Well, I think they got to win, and they're putting up the money to win. This schedule for Charles Huff, though, and football's the most important ingredient in all of this. I think some people are amazed that basketball, to start with, is making a little bit more NIL money than football, but that'll be adjusted on the back end here because the fiscal year's change looks like $10 million eventually for football in NIL money. But you know, you're spending, you got to win. I mean, that's the bottom line. If you're going to make yourself attractive to these teams when the dominoes fall, you better be on the winning side and drawing people, as you just said.
I think, you know, I wasn't really sure exactly how that worked. I think that $9 million for basketball, I know it's fiscal year, so their bump comes when the fiscal year starts, and football's just ended, so they don't get another hit at it until after the school year. You know, when the next fiscal year comes up, I don't know if that's part of the red share or that's the red share and NIL. But I think football is going to get a lot more than that once you start adding NIL into it.
I thought he said July is the fiscal year.
Yeah. So, you know, so basketball is like half year. Season's already, you're in the middle of the summer, which a lot of businesses do their fiscal years in the middle of the summer like that. But the school year basically is December. It's when football ends, and I say, okay, well, now, no, theirs don't start until, they don't get their bump until the next time. So, but they got a bump now, and I was amazed and happily amazed that the American got, some $12 million per school, which is absolutely awesome. That's really,
well,
that's why you're in
best
the
group
that's
of
why
six.
You're in the American and not in, and didn't make the jump to the, whatever the Pac-12.
Well, wait a second now. I read stories where the Pac-12 is going to give out $13 million next year. I don't see how they do it. They don't even have a TV contract that I know of.
Well, that's next year. But, you know, and we don't even know if that's true. But they didn't get nearly what the American got this year. And they didn't have a representative in the playoff. Thanks to Tulane, you know, Memphis gets a share of that money. And the league gets the Lions share of that money to divide up between the schools. So, you know, $12 million, and we were thinking, what, they're going to get $7 to $8 million, $9 million. Now they got 12, so that's better than anybody else. And if you know, it'll be that way for a couple of years until this next split comes.
This summer we have two new teams in USL 2, Memphis FC. They're off to a 0-2-1 start. They've played two home games. Good crowds, by the way, 1,500. And then the Arena League starts, which, what is the team? Is it the Hound Dogs? What are they? I forget what
they're the Hound. They're the Hound Dogs.
Yeah,
and there's one more team. There's a hockey team.
Well, yeah, that's in October. That'll be in October. Yeah. But I'm going to concentrate on the two that have started. I believe the Hound Dogs are 0-1. They went on the road, got clobbered. And the USL 2, 0-2-1, but good crowds in the two home games they had at Mike Gross. I know this is so early and it's tough for you to make a decision, but you're a Hall of Famer, so I'm going to put you on the spot. Mm. Which of these two teams survives?
Wow. That's hard to say. I mean, I think, you know, all these leagues, these are diversions, right? These are something to do in the summertime. You got some time, the kids are around, let's go have some fun at a game or watch something. And I think that the soccer team out at Memphis FC is out at Mike Rose in the stadium out there. That's great for them, a 1,500 crowd. If they can keep doing that, their business model allows them to do that. They're fine. They're not trying to spend a whole lot of money on this.
Right. I don't really know what their total budget is. These guys are semi-pros, right? So are they really getting paid?
Yeah, they're getting paid. But
okay.
College players are getting a bit of money to do it. And then there are other guys that are still kind of hanging on that are in it, and they're getting paid. So, yeah, they're making money doing it, but they're not making a lot. You know, they're covering expenses plus. And it's good soccer. It's like college soccer, basically. With a couple of other guys around, and you know, you're getting some of the best of the best of college players.
It's college all stars, right? Isn't
that right?
Or veterans that are just
that's
out
correct.
Of college that were really good and are good enough
that's
to
exactly,
play pro, but not good enough to make the USL or the MLS.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, and they're trying to get back up to it or get to it or whatever. So it's good soccer, and it's in a great place out there where the soccer people are. The football team. It's a lot
of Memphis. What, 15 of the 18 or something like that are guys from Memphis or played for the University of Memphis. I have no idea what the business model is like for that. I have no idea what the Memphis Sports Event Center is charging them to play in there. How many can it seat? 5,000, something like that?
It's either 25 or 3,500. It's a good size. You've been over there. It's a great facility. I'm interested to see, you know, what they draw. I think it'll be neat just to get people into the facility that may not have come before. God, it's great for basketball. All those EYBL and Puma and Nike events and all that stuff have been just absolutely just incredible over there. And, I think it'll be good to see what it does. And, you know, it's in Midtown. The Arena League did pretty well here. The last one, remember Danton Bartow was head coach.
That was down in
South at the Lander Center in South Haven. I think they won a title before they kind of got the league.
They lasted the longest. Now, I did games at the Pyramid.
Pharaohs,
the original Arena League, and I did those games. Don Freese was the coach.
Yeah,
I did 2 years of those games on TV, and they were fantastic. That was the major league of arena. Danton Bartow's product
was the top level arena.
It was a lower level, and I'm assuming this is a different league with different rules, too. This is a lower level. They don't have kicking, which is interesting.
Well, and they don't, no punts, so everybody's going for it on fourth
down. And no field goals,
because, you know, the ceiling I don't think is high enough for that. But it's a great spot where they are, and the arena is perfect size for them. So, you know, I don't know. We'll have to see what the first crowd looks at.
Yeah.
Now, I think they'll have to win to get people to keep coming along, you know, at some point. But this team just got put together. I mean, how long have they been in existence?
And how long has the league? How long has the league been in existence? What is it called? How long has that been around?
I think a couple of years, and I think that the team that they lost to in their opener, Nebraska, has been in it a couple of years already. So they got the jump start. They know who they are. They know what they have. And these guys here, but I do like the regional rep. The regional way they put this team together with Memphis. Cremonte Hamilton, former Tiger, caught a touchdown pass in that first game, one-handed.
Yeah, I saw that. Big dude.
Yeah, and so it's a former Whitehaven star and Memphis Tiger. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that arena is fast and fun, and there's a lot of scoring. So this team's got to score more points. They can't go, you know, getting beat like they did in the first game, but I think it will. I think they got enough talent here to do something with. Like I said, these are all diversions, and it's something to have a good time. And, you know, they're not expensive to go to see. And I cannot tell you which one I think. I think soccer is being where it is out there where the soccer people are. And it's in the summer, and it's, you know, okay, great. We go see that. The football will be I think they got to win some games.
I would say let's see what the first crowd's like before we make a decision, but I kind of lean with you. I think soccer, if it's all you need is 1,500, that's got the best chance of survival.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jarvo. Mm-hmm. We appreciate it. I'll be off the next couple of weeks. You'll be talking with Landon Schmidt. Thank you, my friend.
Hey, go Redbirds.
Go.
These guys, they're knocking the cover off the ball. And they're fun to watch.
Go to games.
Just get down to AutoZone Park.
Thank you, my friend. That's Jarvis Greer. He's brought to you by Miramichi. You want the full golf experience? I'm telling you, no place like Miramichi. Let's start with the beauty. We could even start with the clubhouse. You know, it almost looks like you're in the mountains. Well, it's like a mountain lodge. It's really kind of cool. The practice facilities are the best. They have the best, from sand trap practice to chipping practice to, of course, a big putting green. And you've got the biggest driving range you've ever seen. And if you become a member, they got memberships. You can have your own little area on the driving range. And then there's the golf, the competition, along with the beauty. You cannot beat it. It's the total golf experience, and it's not in Millington. It's 25 minutes from my driveway in East Memphis. It's in Woodstock. You get there quick. You can practice and learn the game, and then you get the total experience of playing this great golf course. And afterwards, on the deck over 9 and 18, you got the greatest view in Shelby County. Tell them we sent you. Enjoy your time at Miramichi. We got to go. John Harden comes your way in just a minute. Back tomorrow, Andy Schiffman and a whole lot more. We'll see you then. Have a great day, everybody.